Well, I want you to know that I decided not to mess up my yearly preaching calendar because we didn't quite get to the sermon last week. But I think we had a good time. I think we learned a lot about one another. I think we have moved forward, so to speak, because now we have a better understanding of what everybody thinks and where everybody would like to go. So this morning I would like to read Luke's chapter 18, starting with verse 9. Luke 18, verse 9. The beauty of this whole deal is my sermon was ready last week, so I kind of had an easy week, so to speak. It'll probably cause me hate and discontent down the way, but I think it's important. To some who were confident in their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and another a tax collector. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself. God, I thank you that I am not like other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven. But he beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Now, as I was preparing for this, I have to go back and tell you that I added this to the four or the three other relationships that I'm going to speak about in the next few weeks. Because in my thinking, the first relationship we actually ought to work on is with ourselves. You know, the easiest person I can lie to, the easiest person I can get to go be persuaded to my thinking is myself. Now, I had a brother that passed away here a couple years ago. And he could do things that, quite honestly, no one should ever do. And within a year or so, have no recollection he ever done it. He had an ability or a sense of being able to justify it so much that it never became an issue in his life. And sometimes I often wonder just how you do those kinds of things. My conscience doesn't allow me to have that much leeway over my brain. But you would talk to him about certain things that happened maybe 10 or 15 years before, and you'd have to explain the whole thing because he's just looking at you with this deer in the headlight look like, what are you talking about? I didn't do that. I would even go so far as to explain to him who all was there and exactly what happened. Why do I remember this and you don't? His kids will tell you the same story I'm telling you. Not that they're a whole lot ahead of him. Sometimes I think we learn a whole lot more in this life we lead than we think, in the fact that environment and what we're taught seems to trickle down through the family, so to speak. But that's a whole nother sermon. What we're speaking about today is the idea that we are truthful with ourselves about who we are in Christ, in community, as far as in ourselves. Because sometimes we think that other person really has no clue what they're doing. Now, if you're thinking that about me, chances are you could be right. There's sometimes I'm not sure just exactly what I'm doing. But the point is, we can't do that unless we're willing to lie to ourselves. We have to make sure as Christians that we don't circumvent the system. I really believe that the only reason we have so many different denominations is because we're really good at lying to ourselves. We really don't have, as a whole, a great concept of who we are in Christ because we want Christ to fit our mold. We want God to fit in this little box so we can do whatever we want to. That's why we have religions. That's why we have denominations. That's why we have, within denominations, every church has its own faction, so to speak. A lot of times it has to do with one or two people in the church and everybody follows that. Sometimes it's the pastor, sometimes it's somebody else. If you listen to Ten Laws of Leadership, can't think of his name. Anyway, he says in Ten Laws of Leadership that we sometimes follow a person that hardly ever speaks in the back of the room. Because we never know who's leading. But see, that's the whole point of what I'm trying to speak to today. It's this idea of lying to ourselves that the person in charge is not us. If we're Christians, we should never be in charge. The Bible tells us we're supposed to humble ourselves. Humble ourselves to who? God. Not those around us. If we truly humble ourselves, we're truly allowing ourselves to be teachable. I'd like to go back to a verse that's really a great teaching moment, if you think about it. Matthew 26:33, and Peter replies, "Even if I fall away on account of you, I never will." How long did that last? It didn't, did it? It didn't even last overnight before he denied Christ three times. See, we'd like to believe we're that conscientious. We would like to believe that we are that humble, that we will listen, that we will allow God to impermeate our being in such a way that we would change, that we would be teachable, that we would follow like lambs to a slaughter. I was kind of interested in our Wednesday night service in the fact that they talked about a certain kind of lamb that, quite honestly, can watch the one in front of it get killed, and they just walk on in and they get killed right behind it. It's almost part of the breed that they are not that flighty. Now, John can tell you that certain sheep are pretty flighty. I walked out of the back of our barn one time and I opened the door and I was in a hurry, and the next thing I know, I watch this ewe fall over this little trough that I had out there that I was feeding corn in, and she ran about from here to the back door. She looked at me and died. Dead. I walked over, she's dead. And as far as I know, the way she ran across there, I'm not sure there was a thing wrong with her until she got scared. She was unteachable, right? Especially at that moment. Are we that way? Are we willing to really allow God to dictate our lives? Or are we so sure of ourselves that we're going to do exactly what we want to, when we want to, because we want to, and surely God will agree? I'm not sure. I have found that when I tell God what I think He ought to do, He usually helps me realize that He's in charge. Not that I'm wrong every time. Not that I should do something different. But He humbles me to the point that I understand that I'm not in charge. That I'm not the one. 1 Corinthians 10:12 says, "So if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you do not fall." Ever heard that one before? My mom used to tell me that all the time. She used to worry about my friends. I thought I had great friends. They got me in trouble most of the time. And I used to tell Mom that I'm in charge. I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. I don't do everything they do. And then by the time I got up into my junior and senior year, I found out that I was leading that group. And we were still doing the same stupid things. We were still running dead calves up flagpoles. We were doing anything and everything that we could think of. We'd pull outhouses out on. We used to have this street called Box Butte Avenue. And it had a U-turn at both ends. And it's about 17 or 18 blocks long. And we would cruise that thing until everybody went home about 1, 2 o'clock in the morning. Well, if you got really bored, you went out and found an old outhouse somewhere out in the country, and you moved it to town, and you pulled it out of the alley on flames and set it in the butte. It was fun. We did all kinds of those kind of things. But when I started running with them kids, I told my mom that I am not following them, and I was not lying. I found I was the one that was helping. The one that was coming up with ideas. The one that even I had the greatest pickup. You could hide all kinds of stuff in it. It had an old homemade deal over the back box. So you could hide lots of kids in there. You could do lots of things in a hurry. I wasn't humble. I didn't let God lead my life. I went to church every Sunday. See, that's the whole problem. Jesus here in Luke is not speaking to the sinners that we call sinners. He is not speaking to those that are not saved. He's speaking to us. He's speaking to those leaders and teachers and pastors, those goody-goody Christians, those ones that honestly believe that they've already made it so they can say, do whatever they want. Used to have a couple ladies in our church. I didn't like them much. They were opinionated. They were kind of nasty. They told you exactly what you were doing wrong and exactly how they wanted to tell you. And trust me, it wasn't Christian-like. There was none of this bring back to the fold and gentleness. It was hellfire and brimstone, and God's going to crucify you. You will burn in hell for what you're doing. And it might have been just because you ran about 6-8 feet in the church. I can't say that those ladies done a whole lot for my Christian thought process. And sometimes we're kind of that way. And that's exactly where this Pharisee is, isn't he? I am so glad that you did not allow me to be like this sinner, like this tax collector. Are we that way? Are we more willing to point out to God how we're different than this tax collector? Or are we more willing to help him get to where we are? Are we willing to take the chance that someone else might not love us as much if we actually humble ourselves and help this person find God? Does our life actually show that God's in charge, that we're humble, that we're willing to be taught, that we're willing to follow, we're willing to do the things that God would have us to do to help this sinner? That's what having a real relationship with yourself is all about. We have to not only be authentic with one another and authentic with God, but before any of those things can happen, we have to be authentic with ourselves. We have to be willing to allow God to take care of us. You know, a lot of times we look at being humble as the quiet person in the back, or that person that never causes any trouble, or that person that just goes along with the flow. It has nothing to do with being humble. There's a lot of humble leaders. People that are forceful, people that are willing to step out and move the masses. Humble only means that you're willing to be led and you're willing to be teachable. Self-esteem sometimes is that person quiet in the back that never talks. That's a whole different game. This church is filled with leaders. This church is filled with people that can lead groups anywhere. But we need to learn to be real, humble leaders. Teachable. Directed by God. Allowed to help and do the things that God asks us to do. And in Luke here, Christ is asking us to help that tax collector. Just like Christ did the day he ascended into heaven. He said, go and make disciples. He didn't say, sit here in church. He said, go. As we do the things we're supposed to do throughout the week, he called us to be farmers, plumbers, teachers, whatever. But while we're doing that, we're supposed to be making disciples. So we don't think too much of ourselves, that we're more than willing to see ourselves the way God sees us, but also to see ourselves how the sinners see us. We Because that may be the biggest chasm there is. Do they see love? Do they see someone that's willing to take them for who they are, where they're at? Are we judgmental? Are we negative? See, all these things enter in. And it has to do with being true to ourselves and allow God to minister. Let us pray. Our precious Heavenly Father, we come to you this day and we ask, Lord, that your mighty hand be upon us. We know this is kind of tough thinking. We know that it is easier to be the Pharisee than to be that person helping the tax collector. It's easier to kind of stay away from that and keep ourselves in tow. We just ask, Lord, this day that you open our hearts and minds to how you see us and those around us see us. That you help us to grow. That you help us to teach, to minister, to hold up those around us. Help us to learn to be your people doing your will. And we ask all this in your precious name. Amen.